Tonight's scripture will be coming from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 25 through 36. And again, the scripture will be read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 25 through 36. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, understanding that we might have many different translations. Verse 25 says, "And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, man's heart failing them from the fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the power of the heavens will be will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. Now when you see these things begin to happen, look up and lift your heads, because your redemption draws near. Then when he spoke them a parable, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are ready, budding, you see and know that for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, that this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will by no means pass away." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We just pray, Lord, that you give us ears to hear and eyes to see. And as we prepare and just in this time, in this season of Advent, just pray, Lord, that you have your way and let your kingdom come. And right now, Lord, just pray, Lord, that you increase, that I may decrease. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so as we begin, before we actually get to the text tonight, the scripture tonight, kind of want to start with some illustrations to prepare our minds for the text tonight. So I'll give you a couple of illustrations. The first illustration I want to start you off with is an illustration of an experience that I experienced as when I was growing up. And my mom and dad, my mother and father, they had everybody in the house clean up. So it's not like your ordinary cleaning where you do daily chores or anything. It's this, in a sense, this deep cleansing that takes place. And it took place around this time, December, from this moment all the way to Christmas time. So you kind of see that we were cleaning up and preparing and getting ourselves in order and getting our house in order for Christmas. And as a church, we're preparing in the season of Advent for Christ, the coming of Christ. And so you can kind of see this cleansing that was taking place. And following after we clean, we'll decorate the house. So we'll put up the tree and put up the lights and the different decorations around Christmas that kind of prepare us for Christmas. So once that time take place, and I had a conversation with my mom recently on the phone, and not letting her know that I was preparing for a sermon and things like that, and we just talking, and the conversation just continued to go, and just asking her what was the meaning of that, why did we do this? Because in a sense, every time around this year we're preparing to clean up, and it was like, why? Just asking for the meaning and things like that. And she kind of initially said that it started off, it was just passed down to her, so she continued to do it to her kids. So it was passed to her to continue to her kids. And it was something that she allowed me to do as we were decorating. It was one particular thing she allowed me to do. And what she allowed me to do was she allowed me to put the initials of JC, like make this big initial JC on the fence outside of the house. And for us, the initials, because my father's name is Jesse and my mother's nickname is Coco. So everybody outside knows that my father's name is Jesse and my mother's name, nickname is Coco. So they're thinking that JC represents Jesse and Coco. When I was talking to my mom on the phone, the conversation really took a turn when she said that everybody was expecting that everybody was thinking that the initials mean JC for Jesse and Coco, but it means Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ's birthday and for Christmas. So as we were talking, I was just it just really amazed me as I was preparing for the sermon. And the meaning behind that is that even at this time in Advent, we are preparing ourselves and getting ourselves in order, and it's in a sense this deep cleansing in the inside that's taking place. And notice that it's not so much on the outward cleansing, but it's this inward cleansing that's taking place, and as we're preparing for the coming of Christ. And so that's kind of the first illustration I want you to kind of wrap your minds with and prepare as we go along to the text. And the next illustration would be, if I may, would be, in a sense, as we're preparing for a feast. And understand it's not just your ordinary feast, but understand that the feast is Jesus Christ. So we're preparing for Jesus Christ. And you can kind of think of it as a main course or main meal. And understanding that before a main meal, what do you have? You sometimes have appetizers. And appetizers lead you to the main meal or the feast. So these appetizers, you can kind of see the prophecies from the Old Testament all the way to the coming of Christ. It's kind of like the appetizers for us getting ready for this main feast, which is Jesus Christ. So just kind of wrap your minds around those two illustrations as we prepare for the text. And one funny thing, before when I first initially started to prepare for this sermon, I kind of automatically went to illustration of a woman giving birth. She's giving birth to twins, and she's in labor. So it was like the first child, which is the first coming of Christ. And then you have this waiting, and this you have people preparing for the second child, and this anticipation of the second child. And so now the second child is, of course, the second coming. And it kind of was trying to get a message and wrap kind of go with that illustration. But then I realized that was a little too messy, so I didn't do it. like I said, as we begin, kind of wrap your mind around those first two illustrations. And kind of starting from Luke chapter 19, verse 41. And as we see Jesus is now drawing near and is on his way entering into Jerusalem. And we see Jesus, he stops and he pauses, and he weeps. He weeps over Jerusalem. And he weeps over Jerusalem for one particular reason. And the reason why he weeps over Jerusalem, because they didn't recognize God's visitation to them. And the message behind that is the people in Jerusalem, he's weeping because, of course, like I say, they didn't recognize his visitation to them, God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. So he's weeping over over Jerusalem, because they're not, in a sense, they didn't recognize his coming or his visitation. And So we kind of see him in a sense displeased, and as he enter into the temple, we see Jesus is also displeased about what's going on in the temple. He's looking around and he's seeing various things that's going on, which is not appropriate. And he sees people exchanging money. He sees things being sold. He sees a lot of things going on, of course, that is not pleasing at all. And he goes and he says, "You got this is my father's house, and this is a house of prayer. But you turned this house into a den of robbers, a den of thieves." And so you kind of see this whole thing. He's displeased with what's going on in the temple. So he's, in a sense, you understand the story as he's cleaning out the temple. And it's this inward cleansing that's taking place. So he's cleaning out the temple. And then it continues to goes on. And you see Jesus is having various dialogues with the priests and the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders of that time. And then it comes to a point where everybody, of course, is so fascinated with the temple and everything, the buildings, the bricks, and everything that's going on. So it's like this glamorous scene going on. Everybody's so fascinated about it. Even the disciples that he's with is also fascinated with the temple. So you kind of see all this stuff going on, and as Jesus is speaking these things, they're really not hearing what Jesus has to say. And then he also sees a lot of people giving offerings. So and it comes to the point where these rich people are giving offerings, and they're giving these big offerings, and everybody is so fascinated with these big offerings. But what Jesus noticed is he noticed a poor widow, and she throws two coins in the offering plate. And of course, nobody takes notice of that because it seems very small. But he says that this poor widow gave more than you all. She gave more than you all. For you gave out of your abundance, but she gave out of her poverty. And she gave everything that she had. So he's talking and he's telling them these things. And again, the disciples and everybody else is still so fascinated with the temple. And he tells them that destruction is coming upon Jerusalem. And he tells them that destruction is coming upon his temple. And he tells them that this temple is not going to be a stone left upon a stone with this temple. So he's telling them about the destruction of the temple. So and then you get the disciples. They begin to talk and ask them, and it says, "So when is this time coming? When what kind of signs are you going to give us to prepare us for this happening?" And this kind of leads us into the scripture today, the text today. And so then he goes and he begins, and before we get right into the text, he begins to give us more information about the destruction, not just upon Jerusalem, but upon the end times and the ending of the world. And the ending of the world. So it's Jerusalem. So kind of understand it as Jerusalem and the end times that is coming. And he talks about how nations are turned against nations. There'll be famines in the land. There'll be earthquakes, and there'll be all these different things. But he's telling them through all this time, don't let your heart be troubled. Kind of like, don't let your heart be troubled. And don't allow those things to, in a sense, weigh you down, because all those things are just signs of that I'll be coming. So he's in a sense preparing them through this whole time. So you can actually see it's this preparation to Jerusalem. Through this whole time, he's preparing to go into Jerusalem. And then he also talks about a little more going down to verse 24. It talks about the Gentiles and how the Gentiles will trample over the people of Jerusalem. So it kind of leads us into the coming of the Gentiles. And then we also see this preparation to the end times, which of course we are in today. So it's kind of, you see as it's preparation of all these various things. And again, people are not taking notice of everything that he's pretty much saying. And then we get to the scripture, and we start. And what I want you to do is kind of wrap your mind around in if I can say a threefold. So it's kind of, look at it as Jesus, he wants them to see something, take notice of something. And then, so that's the first thing. And the second thing is he has a meaning for what he wants them to take notice of. So it's a meaning, or is this coming, or something coming out of what he wants them to take notice of. And then the third thing is an even deeper meaning of what he really is, what he's really trying to say. So as we begin in verse 25, it says, "And there will be signs in the sun and the moons and the stars, and on the earth, distress on the nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves, things coming on the earth, for the power of heaven will be shaken." So again, we see he said, take notice of these signs, take notice of all these things. But he's saying, don't allow those things to, in a sense, don't focus so much on those things, because those are just signs of something that I'm getting you ready for. And we understand that this getting ready for is Christ's return. And so he's saying, take notice of all these signs. And so we see, and then we go to the next the next verse 27, it says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So again, he says, take notice of these signs, and through what I want you to take notice of, you'll see me coming. So he's saying, I'm coming. He's saying that I'm coming. So take notice that I'm coming, and I'm going to return. So you see that. So it's like I said, it's a trifold, one, two, and then and the third thing that he really wants them to take hold of. He says, now when these things happen, look up and lift your heads, because your redemption draws near. And here is kind of like the main thing what he's trying to get across to them. He's saying that all these things are going to happen, but he's giving us a responsibility of instructions of what we need to do. And he's telling them to look up and lift their heads. And he says, and the reason why is because your redemption is drawing near. And he's telling them that the kingdom of God is coming. And he's telling them about his coming, of his second coming. So he's telling them, don't allow all these things, in a sense, to weigh you down or weigh your hearts down, because those are just signs of my coming. And then he gives a parable about a fig tree. And again, we have this trifold. And the first thing he tells us is the first, take notice of the fig tree and all the trees. And he says, look at the fig tree. So, and again, he gives us something to look at or take notice of. So we take notice of the fig trees. And then it's a meaning behind the fig trees. And he says that when you see they are already budding, you know that for yourself that summer is near. So the meaning behind. So he says, take notice of the fig tree. And the meaning for that is it tells you that summer is drawing near. But he said, don't take notice of the fig trees. Don't, in a sense, don't look at that too much. I have some, in a sense, he have more. It's something, it's a deeper message behind this. And what and again, he tells them here is that in verse 31, he says, so you also, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. And again, he tells them that this deep message that the kingdom of God is near, and he wants them to understand that he's coming. His kingdom is coming. The kingdom of God is coming. So take notice, and there's a meaning behind it. And the deeper meaning is he wants them to know that the kingdom of God is near. But then he even go deeper in here. He says, surely I say to you, this generation by no means will pass away, and all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And with this generation, I want to say he's speaking on Jerusalem and this generation, and telling them that all these things are going to happen, and these things are going to pass away. And he said, and again, he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words by no means will pass away. And again, he's not just speaking to the people of Jerusalem. He's speaking to us as well today. He's telling us that all these things in heaven and earth will pass away. He said, but my words by no means will pass. But so I think we take notice of a lot of things of sex trafficking. We see many wars. We might see different things going on in the world. And he's telling us, don't take so much notice. And I'm just, in a sense, almost, it's almost like he's telling us to, in a sense, rejoice, because we understand that those times and those signs are telling you or getting you ready for my coming. So don't get so, in a sense, so wrapped up in those things that's going on in the world, and then it really gets deeper, because he tells us here the importance of watching, and again, it's this kind of trifold, threefold thing that's going on. And we hear in verse 34, it says, but take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with the carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and the day will come on you unexpectedly. So again, he said, for yourselves, take heed of, in a sense, take heed yourselves, and like, in a sense, this preparation to get yourselves ready, and in a sense, take heed. I want you to take heed of all these signs that's going on and these things that's going on. But again, don't allow those things to weigh you down. Don't allow those things to cause carousing or this drunkenness. And a lot of times you see when things go wrong, you have people, in a sense, I can really testify from my family, when a lot of things go home, like a death in the family, people run straight to alcohol and they get drunk. And he's telling them these various things that, so don't allow those things to call drunkenness. He said, because my coming will come on you unexpectedly if you're not ready. So if you're not prepared for my coming, then he's trying to prepare these people and prepare us as well, so that our hearts don't be weighed down. And then we see in verse 35, it says, and this is the meaning of the first part. It says, for it will come on as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. So it's, again, he's telling us, if we focus so much on all these things, that day my coming will come on you like a snare, like a trap. So it's gonna come on you unexpected. You're not gonna be ready. You're not gonna be prepared, and again he goes, and I think if anything, this is the message that he's really getting across in verse 36. He says, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to that you'll be able to stand before the Son of God." And again, he's giving us instruction. He's saying the first thing he tells us is to watch. He's telling us to watch and pay attention to all these signs. But he also is telling us, while we're watching, don't allow all those things that we're seeing to weigh us down, but instead pray. So he's telling us to pray through all this, in a sense, this confusion, this destruction that's going on. He's telling us to pray and, in a sense, prepare ourselves, because he's coming. And the reason why he's telling us to prepare ourselves is so that we will be able to stand before the Son of God, before the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. And the illustration that I gave you from the beginning, and like I say, is you saw this inward cleansing. It was wanted you to take notice of this inward cleansing. And as we're preparing for Advent and preparing and for the season of Advent and for the coming of Christ, it's this inward cleansing that he wants us to take and really take hold of, and really wants there to be a change in our heart, our mind, and all these various things. So, and during this time of Advent, the message behind this whole thing is, and if I can challenge you with something today, would be like the cleaning when we were cleaning up at our house. And if there's some things in your life where some walls in your life that needs to be cleaned, or that needs to be, in a sense, maybe broken down, he's telling you to fix it or clean it. And if there's some things that you may be swept under the rug, or some things that need to be vacuumed, and you kind of just brushed it off to the side, or as if it was nothing, injustice, or you kind of see a lot of things that you kind of sweep under the rug and just say, oh, this really is nothing. It'll kind of take care of itself. So he's kind of say, get those things in order, because I'm coming. And then, and also you see the analogy of a mirror. You know you have fingerprints on a mirror and things like that, which is going to blind, in a sense, or take away your vision from seeing. So he's saying, clean all these things, or get yourself in order, get your house in order for my coming, so that you'll be able to stand before the Son of Man. So, thank you.